Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. Nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. That is an absolute, without a shadow of a doubt, fact. There's nobody like the Lord. The God that we serve is so amazing, so wonderful, that he would give us another day to take in his breath and his strength. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to FM AM, For Men, About Men, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word that will enhance us as we strive towards the mark of perfection as men, spiritually mature, sound-minded men. As always, my scripture is the same. It starts us off. My son, attend to my words, and incline thy ears to thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find it, and health to all thy flesh. When you find Jesus in your life, as Paul said, he was blind, now you see, life begins. The abundance starts to roll in. But again, not the abundance that the world gives, but the abundance that gives you that rest, that rest, that rest of peace that surpasses all understanding. The world at this point can't beat you down, can't break you down, can't tear you down, can't turn you around, because you have that peace that God can give. It's such an amazing thing to experience. And I, you know, when Jesus told us to go into the world and share the good news, I understand. Because once you get this good news, oh, it's a struggle at times. Let me not present something to deceive you. It's a struggle. It's a challenge because Satan is still doing his job. He's still attempting to kill, steal, and destroy. But oh, with him, who with God being for us, who could be against us? He will be defeated in every way. We just have to trust in him so he will give us that peace. How do you know that peace? By accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It is so important because it is the key to walk into the door to the freedom that you're searching for. It is the key that will set you free. For who God said free is free indeed. Again, when we talk sometimes, we create images. If I say to you apple, maybe your favorite apple is a golden apple. It ain't red. Or maybe your apple is a green apple. But I create an image. So when I'm speaking and I'm creating the image about a door you walk through, and on that other side of the door is this freedom. You need this key of salvation. And it's a simple process. Your mouth and believe in your heart. And not this warm, touchy-feely believing, but believe in your heart that God sent his son to this earth. He was born. He lived. He walked among us. And he died, went down to hell, and came back with the power and authority to ascend up and sit at the right hand of the Father. He did that for the remission of our sin. The chastisement of our peace that should have been upon us was upon him. But this is the door of opportunity. This is what we want to have. So when you accept Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, these opportunities, these blessings, these benefits that we talk about immediately becomes yours. The promise that he gave, and his promises don't return by void, as his word would say. You begin to experience as you move along and spiritually mature in Christ as men. And we are reluctant as men sometimes to receive because we are caught up, as Elder was saying, we're caught up in what man say or what man do. That's a diversion. That's a distraction. But once we accept Christ as our personal and Savior, he will start to clear, if you will, as the man said, I can't think of the artist's name anymore, but he said, I can see clearly now. You can see clearly now because God's word will give you that clarity. Hallelujah. So if you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, the angels are celebrating, we're celebrating, because now as you're taking Christ into your heart, your life will begin. Amen. Amen. But Lord, right now I come before you. Just thank you right now that you use this vessel, Father God, is your tool, your instrument, Father God, to be able to deliver your word through the Holy Spirit. So let I, David, decrease, and let you, Holy Spirit, rise up big in me to bring all things to my remembrance. And let your power, the dunamis power, go forward and have that influence, that impact, to be the change agent that changed the hearts and the minds of people. Father God, I'm just a vessel. I'm just a voice. But use me as you see fit. Father God, I ask you multiple times to send me. And I don't always know what the future holds, but I'm going in faith. And I'm trusting as you have me standing here today, because somebody, if somebody told me I would be here 20 years ago, I'd be laughing. But I'm standing here because you allowed me that opportunity. Your love that tells us it is patience. Your patience was displayed with me. So, Father, use me so someone else can experience you in their way. But as I know it from my way, it's a beautiful experience. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as always, I like to share quotes because I like to share what I believe, even if people are maybe not at a certain spiritual level, they have been given a gift. And as always, I say, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. They've been given a gift to share knowledge and wisdom that if we have ears to hear and we have a mind to be open for understanding and a heart to believe that which is in line with God's word, even if it's utilized through a donkey. And isn't that the ultimate objective, that we grow so we can share more? And I know that ain't proper English, but you get the point. The quote is, believe in your infinite potential. Your only limitations are those you set upon yourself. Believe in yourself, your abilities, and your own potential. Never let self-doubt hold you captive. You are worthy of all that you dream of and hope for. Isn't that what the word tells us? He gives us hope and a future. He tells us, don't cast away your confidence because it has great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. If you want to make permanent change, stop focusing on the size of your problem and start focusing on the size of you. You only meaning that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. Step out on faith and walk into your purpose. As Rick Warren would say, that purpose-driven life. And you see, when you plant a seed of love, it is you that will blossom. See, we should all do all things in love. That is the commandment in itself. And spiritual maturity is measured in terms of preserving faith, not perfect behavior. See, this is what prevents us from stepping out because we're looking for that man's concept, or that man's meaning of perfect. But we understand that perfection is maturity. It's a process. It's development. Only one was perfect. But while we in this fleshly body strive to deal with life as it presents itself, we know that we're in a battle with the flesh and the spirit. As Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But when we get the mind and heart of Christ, we can begin to come stronger because now we're moving out of the will of God, not of our self-will. Hallelujah. And the scripture tells us in Hebrews 6:1, therefore let us move beyond the elementary teaching about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. It's time to grow up. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Hallelujah. Luke 17:5 says, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And 1 Peter 2:2-3 says, like a newborn baby, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have taste that the Lord is good, grow up. It's time for us to grow up. Hallelujah. It's time for us to grow up. And Colossians 1:9-10 says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Bearing fruit. We want to grow to bear good fruit. What is that fruit? Love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. This is where we're maturing. In the back end, we have self-control. In the beginning, we have the fruit of love. And that's what it's about. Colossians 2, 6, and 7 say, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as your Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthening in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. As you evolve and you grow, you need to be thankful for every little step you take. As Bobby Brown used to say, for every little step I take, you will be there. Every little step you take, God will be there. Christ will be there. The Holy will be there if we believe. We cannot lose confidence in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as always, I like to tell a few stories. So this is about your priorities matter. Imagine you had a bank account that deposited $86,400 each day, or each morning, I should say. The account carries over no balance from day to day. It allows you to keep no cash balance, and every evening cancels whatever part of the amount you had failed to use during the day. What would you do? Draw out every dollar each day? We all have had such a bank. And we have all had such a bank. In the name is time. Every morning it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night it writes off as lost time you have failed to use wisely. It carries over no balance from day to day. It allows no overdraft so you can borrow against yourself or use more time than you have. Each day, the account starts fresh. Each night, it destroys an unused time. If you fail to use the day deposit, it is your loss and you can't appeal to get it back. There's never any borrowing time. You can't take a loan out on your time or against someone else's. The time you have is the time you have, and that is that. Time management is yours to decide how you spend the time. Just as with money, you decide how you spend the money, it is never the case of us not having enough time to do the things, but the case of whether we want to do them and where they fall in our priority. You know, I was telling someone this morning, you know, I've heard many people say, I want to go back to school. And I'm in two programs, not to say that in a boasting fashion, but I'm in two programs, two major high advanced programs, if you will, that most people would only do one. But God seems to open up the window when you make a decision and prioritize what you're trying to achieve. Again, moving towards our destiny. So we have to make sure that our priorities matter. Another brief story I want to share with you is never giving up on your dreams. Once there was an older man who was broke, living in a tiny house, owned a beat-up car. He was living off $99 from his Social Security check. But at 65 or 80, he decided things had to change. As Elder was saying, change is going to come. So he thought about what he had to offer, what gifts and abilities that God had given him that he could offer to the world that when he transitioned, it would live on past him. It would be the difference that makes the difference. His friends raved about his chicken recipe. He decided this was his best shot in making a change. And I always like to use the acronym change, meaning first you're going to have conflict. You may experience a little hurt. You may get a little angry at times, but you begin to network. And as you begin to network, you begin to grow because you get knowledge and wisdom from the networking that you do. And then all of a sudden, your expectations change. See, his expectations change because he prioritized. He left Kentucky and traveled to different states to try to sell his recipe. He told restaurant owners that he had a mouth-watering chicken recipe. He offered a recipe to them for free. They just asking for a small percentage on the item sold. Sound like a good deal, right? Unfortunately, not to most of the restaurant owners. He had heard over 1,000 no's. And even after all the rejection, he didn't give up. See, you can't give up. I know another story, but I'll just be brief on it. The people gave up when it was just 3 miles down, when they could have struck oil. But he believes in his chicken. That's another thing. You got to believe in what you're doing. He believed in the chicken recipe was something special. He got rejected 1,009 times before he heard his first yes. See, once you get your first yes, the 1,009 times don't matter. Don't matter. They just become a part of the story. With that one success, Colonel Harlan Sanders changed the way Americans eat chicken. Now, you hear what they say, Americans. He touched the lives, and I know he didn't just hit America. And all the countries I've been in, Kentucky Fried Chicken is there. May not be real chicken, I'm just kidding, but it's there. Kentucky Fried Chicken became popularly known as KFC. Remember, never give up and always believe in yourself in spite of the rejection. As I used to tell my son in dating, don't take it as rejection, take it as selection. You like what you like what they like. If you notice, you got a Burger King on one corner, you got White Castle on another, you got McDonald's on another, and you got Rallies on another, and the people are in all of them. Don't take it as rejection, it's just selection, because you got to keep focused on your goal. And we must learn from our problems. And man's favorite donkey fell into a deep hole. He can't pull him out no matter how hard he tried. He therefore decided to bury him alive. Have mercy. Saw is pouring onto the donkey above. The donkey feels the load, shakes it off, and steps on it. More soil is poured. He shakes it off and steps on it. The more the load was poured, the higher it rose. By noon, that donkey was grazing in green pastures. See, he was like water. He adapted. He overcame, and he was out there back in the grazing pasture doing his thing. You see, we have to, as I said, be like water. If you stick water into a Coca-Cola bottle, it takes the form of a Coca-Cola bottle. If you stick water into a container that's like a box, it takes the form of that box. And if you stick it into the little ice trays and you stick it in the refrigerator, it takes the form of ice. You've got to be adaptable and adjustable if you're trying to achieve your goal. We can see that there are things, men, we need to consider when we are moving forward towards our destiny, which will require us to prowl towards our lives in order to focus on the plan God has for our life. Yet we must never cast our confidence away because it has great rewards that God has for us. For if God is for us, who could be against us? Never give up on your dream. However, we must learn from the problem that God gives us through his solution. For God is the way, the truth, and the life. This moves me right into my show, and I won't be before you long, even though I heard some preachers say one time I get 3 shots at that. But I won't be before you long, because this is just the foundation of deliverance, development, direction, and destiny. Sometimes men struggle with challenges that is undetected by many because of the pseudo-image that men have to present in order to appear to be a man. What does this mean, people? We talk about what does it mean to be a godly man, or simply put, just a good man. Thus, if we are to move towards becoming a God image bearer or for our family, our community, and for all parties involved, there has to be some consideration. Yet there are questions that we as men must consider. What are the issues that men deal with as they progress through their journey or if you towards that spiritual maturity? And how are men dealing with these issues? And who is there to support our men in the various issues that men deal with? Who's there? Because we as society have created for men an image that sometimes is unattainable. Yes, there's the basic things that we deal with that men sometimes are taught early on. Get a job, go to school, get a job, and mature into these roles. But these men are stressed because, again, the roles now have changed. When it used to be the day the man wear the pants, that ain't the case. It used to be the time when men were the provider. That ain't the case. It used to be when the wife would say, wait till your daddy get home. It used to be when a man walked in the job, he might get the job because he had the physical stature. That ain't the case. Things have changed. And it's very difficult sometimes for people who had not, I would say spiritually mature, but just haven't matured in general to deal with change. Because you know why? They don't like conflict. They don't want to be hurt. They may just get flat out angry. And because sometimes men turn inside or inward, they don't network. So where, how is growth going to come about? And how are they going to change their expectations? And consider what Jesus did with the 12 disciples. We can see he delivered them. He developed them. He directed them towards their destiny. So let's take a moment to consider what prevents a man from meeting the four objectives. Many times for men, we need that deliverance from our old ways. As Zig Ziglar used to say, you got to get rid of that stinking thinking. That stinking thinking. My old background was filled with old passed down philosophies that were not closely examined as being limited and harmful and not in line with God's word. Yes, many men of my days were taught basic, be respectful, do what you're told, always follow directions. However, we can see that Satan gives out directions that lead you right down to the pits of hell and fulfill his plan and destiny. Let's consider Jesus and what happened when Satan was giving out instructions to Jesus. Out of Matthew 4:11, it tells us, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. He was weak. He was at his most vulnerable state. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is also written, you do not put the Lord your God to the test. And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you if, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Have mercy. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. See, Jesus gave out instructions too. Then check this out. Then the devil left him and angels came to attend to him. So what was the first one? If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. What could this mean today? Many young men are hungry in life for some substance to sustain life, but will be tempted by these directions. They're tempted because they're hungry for money, recognition, and acceptance. And if they give in, Satan in the form of his illusionist, the drug dealer, the music promoter, the women, the thief, in all areas will lead them away from their true development by following the direction to pull them away from their destiny, which we can see Jesus didn't allow that to happen. Then, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Life is so tough for young men today, which means many of them are giving up and trying to fight the battle to keep fighting for life. Suicide seems to be the option for many they take today. Just in the military, since this is my arena, 22 to 23 soldiers take their life every day, and it's an increase of 25%. These are trained men and women calling it quit because Satan is telling them to throw themselves down into the pits of hell. When we know what Satan's mission is, to kill, steal, and destroy. But he's given these instructions. And instead of having ears to hear from Christ, they're having ears to hear what Satan is telling them, just like he did in the garden. And then he comes back and says, all this I will give you. He proposed something before he gives the instruction, right? If you bow down and worship me. How many times have we heard our young men give in to the trappings of the world, as the elder said, through selling drugs, wanting to gain that recognition and status and that street credit, just to feel like they somebody. Feel like they somebody. Ain't that what the song tells? I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. You see, that street cred that they're looking for. The temptation is so powerful because when you're poor, no father, no direction or guidance, the world is telling you, you are nobody because of your size, your color, your complexion, your facial features, and all the negatives of the world. The temptation to give in is so overpowering. I know because we can easily turn around and say, like Nancy Reagan said, just say no. However, without Jesus Christ, that's easier said than done. Just say no. You see, truthfully, when we talk about the sin nature, and when we, and the Word tells us in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse from all the righteous, right? Why don't we just say no? Why don't we just say no? We won't need that, right? Because we just say no. Easier said than done. This is why it's so important for spiritual maturity, because you get stronger in being able to say no. The guy I was 10 years ago and the man I am today, no was too hard to say. Two little letters that got so much power. Many of us men are bombarded by the many forms of instruction that will not deliver us from evil, but lead us right into the ultimate defeat and destruction of not being what God intended us to be, which is his image bearer, but becoming the reflection of Satan. We become his reflection. And this is what we see today. I just saw today a man, have mercy. Ooh, let me stop. A man doused his girlfriend with gasoline. Satan is evil. Satan gets into the spirit, into the mind, and he just distorts it beyond reason. Now, she didn't die, but her life has now been compromised forever and a day. Now, if she can be strong enough, like there was another case like that, and tell her story to inspire others, that would be fine. But no matter who you are, and I know this firsthand, you can't run from you. So in the end, she still got to look in that mirror. She still got to see her body. So she will live with the agony of what a man did to her, because he was just a man in physical stature, but he wasn't a man from the inside out. What went wrong? I was in my chaplain group, and he proposed a question, which I kind of briefly spoke of the other day. What do we fear? You see, this is a profound question, because we as men always want to present that we're fearless, especially a soldier. Our ego can get so big that we think we're invincible. I was playing chess the other day. And my partner there put his bishop out. He said, "Oh, I got you now. My bishop is in your line. I'm over here." What he didn't pay attention to is that my queen was about to do her thing. And when I hit him up and took that bishop, he said, oh, I didn't see that." You see, the reality of it is that we can get so cocky that we lose sight. I heard the acronym, ego means etching God out. But however, I like to say this, is that there are fears that many men are dealing with, and their methods to choose to find solutions to deal with these fears usually lead them down the wrong path. Every time I see someone on the corner toe up from the flow up, I see someone high as a boot scoop. When I go into a restaurant, somebody's smoking weed so tight that the aroma is so powerful, it's like apple pie is just strong. They're looking for solutions. They're looking for solutions because they're in pain. As I always said, people don't want to die, so the people that take their life and take other people's lives, at that point, they're losing it. But let's just deal with suicide. They don't want to die. They want to get rid of the pain. And that pain may not look like your pain. That pain may not feel like your pain. May not feel like it. So they deal with it. I've come to the reality that people are trying to survive. We should be trying to thrive, but most people are trying to survive, and their methodology of how they survive is different from person. But this is why it's so important in all things, get understanding. We need to understand how they got here. How they got here. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and he said that one of the little girls from the middle school was prostituting herself out. So they got found out about it, brought her in, and got all on her, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't know her story. Because while she prostituted herself out, her mama strung out. You don't know their story. And I know we're talking about men. But there's no father in that life. You see? No father. No father. But see, we can't let that be the thing that detours. We have to be willing to make that change. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. He will direct us, as I said earlier. It's about direction. Jesus gave the disciples direction. But let me go down this list and take a pause for the calls at some point in your day, or if not now, to entertain if any one of these are your fears. And I know everybody like to say they're walking in faith, hallelujah, that's all well and good, but I know human nature. And I say that not to boast, but I've been around enough human beings to know those who portray, I'll find out what they're about another day. Fear of death. Fear life expectations from others. Fear moving forward or backward in life. Aging. Fear of relationships. Fear of God. Fear of confrontation. Fear of trust. Fear of loss. Fear of transition. Fear of the unknown. Fear of not reaching your potential. Fear of success. Fear of not meeting your own expectations. Many times we think we don't have any of these fears. I have now come to the point just to say, as human beings, we too are the great illusionists. We like to create the image that we want the world to see because some of these fears exist inside of us. And we don't want the world to see that we compromise, that we're broken, that we're struggling. That we don't know what to do. The old classic you would always hear the family going on a road trip and pops is driving and they supposed to be going to Chicago, but they winding up in Philadelphia on their way to New York. How that happened? And instead of pops saying, you know, I don't know where I'm going, or pull over, and the wife would say, honey, you know where you going? He said, I know where I'm going. Don't say nothing to me, woman. I know where I'm going. I'm a man. I know where I'm going. And he don't admit because of fear that he don't know where he's going. Because he has an image. He wants to create delusion. I'm the man. I'm in charge. I know what I'm doing. But you're taking people the wrong way. You're taking them the wrong way. So again, I ask you, take a moment to look at these questions. Because surely some of these fears exist. And we know the word tells us that God did not give us fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And when you receive a sound mind, you need to look and examine yourself as men to see if these fears exist. Because as my friend would say, you can't heal what you don't reveal. If you don't even reveal it to yourself, how are you going to make the change? How are you going to make the change? And there's a way that we can deal. You see, God's word tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You can't use the methods that the world offers in its entirety. It has its place, but you can't use it in its entirety. But the word of God's weaponry, his weaponry is so mighty, it can pull down the stronghold. If we're willing to cast down the imagination, every high thing to try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hello, it's the thoughts. And see, A lot of times we don't even have necessarily the thought. It may be the emotion, what we feel. I'm of the nature to believe most people don't make educated decisions right away, but they end up doing it. And this is why when you sign for something big like a house or a car, they give you 3 days, because you may be emotionally driven. And your thoughts are telling you, oh, I'm going to look good in this car. Oh, I'm going to get the honeys. I'm going to be styling. I'm going to be doing it like that. But then the reality of when the bill come in, you might not be doing it like that. But you were driven by these emotions, these ideals, because you wanted to create the illusion that you had it going on. So we need to be delivered. We need to develop. We need direction or redirection to move towards our destiny. And what is that destiny? Because spiritually mature as men in Christ. You've got to bring these thoughts and imagination and stop procrastinating and move in the direction that God calls us to move into. See, Romans 10:14 tells, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Without a preacher. Who is the preacher? Who is the teacher? Who is the mentor? Who is the sponsor? Who is the counselor? I know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but I remember when I didn't know that, when I was walking blindly in the world trying to find truth, trying to maintain hope, trying to believe was that what I was told from my parents, only to discover I needed to be delivered. I needed to be developed. I needed to be redirected, and I needed to move towards my destiny that I did not create, because God always had a plan for my life. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus delivered the disciples. He developed the disciples. He directed the disciples towards his destiny, but our men, whether directly or indirectly, are not getting this same support. They're walking around in fears and doubt, and as I said, the temptation is so great it creates a ball of confusion. This is what you see. I've seen a lot of things. Now, in Germany, they have Autobahn. We can go as fast as we like. But I've seen people drive extreme speeds, and I like speed. I have a sports car, and I've rode motorcycles and dirt bikes and all that. I like speed. Anything that's fast, I like to be in it. Horses. I love speed, but I don't want to be reckless about it. People are reckless. So we can say they're reckless towards us, but they're reckless towards themselves. Why? Because, again, the fears that exist deep inside them, they're trying to ward them off in their own mythology. And that mythology is causing them to bring pain, not just to themselves, but everyone else. Well, we have a responsibility to help our men, to help each other to move towards our destiny. Because it's so important to recognize that we need to be delivered. And once we get delivered, we can begin to develop. We need to develop. We need to become disciples in order to move towards discipleship, to develop our men. You know, I'm involved with multiple men programs. And when it's time for the men to step up, they talk good. Some of them got big businesses. They dress in fine suits. When you go out there, they got Bentleys and Rolls Royce and all kind of nice cars, $100,000 going up. But when you ask them to do, man, I like your program. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be there. Yeah, dog, don't worry about it. I got you. And then when the time comes for reckoning, they know where to be found. So we press on. We move on anyway, because Jesus only needed 12. And one of them had to drop off, and one of them denied him. But he pressed on, because no matter what, he still saw their potential. He knew the importance of developing for their destiny. And even though Judas did what he did by betraying them as well, that was his destiny. He already knew that. So we need to recognize the importance of trying to develop our men, to help them become spiritually mature, spiritually sound, to use a sound mind, not to hurt and harm, but to create an environment that has peace in it, that is joyful, where they render goodness, kindness, and gentleness. You know, somebody told me one time they didn't like the word humble because they saw it as weakness. But it takes a whole lot to turn your cheek. It takes a whole lot to get control of your anger. It takes a whole lot to give of yourself. And I always like to tell about when I got my bachelor's degree, and Dr. Pinker said that his wife gave of herself. She gave of herself day in and day out while he struggled through his PhD. Because he said he wasn't the best student in the early years, but she was there for him. She loved him, and she was there for him. When he graduated, he had made a vow that he was going to give her everything he could possibly give with his ability. And every day he said he cooked breakfast for her. He prepared what she needed prepared. And Zig Ziglar said the same thing, as he used to call his wife the old redhead. You see, as men, this is not just a benefit for us to mature as men, but it becomes a benefit to those that we are involved with. We begin to know how to love our wives, how to inspire, motivate, encourage, and sponsor our wives. And in that, our children see this, and they begin to see a model of a man who is sound in mind, a man who takes care of his body so he can be solid to carry the spirit and do the will of God. So it's not just about developing for our own self-gratification. You know that love is not self-seeking. It's about being able to become strong inside so you can give without. You can give it to those. Give it away. See, Jesus had the power of the Holy Spirit inside him, and he blessed everyone outside of him. The model of a man. But who is going to be the preacher? Who is going to be the teacher? Who is going to be the sponsor? Who is going to be the counselor? So our young boys, as they come into the world, and they're looking to look up to somebody, they can look up and see a man with sound mind, who has the ability to know what he needs to do because he has taken the knowledge and wisdom that God has given him, not leaning to his own understanding, but always acknowledging to God his ways and what God wants him to do. As Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Easier said than done. But that's what the developmental process is about. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. So next week, we're going to talk about discipleship. We're going to look at how we can become delivered from some of these fears that perpetuate us to do these inappropriate behavior. See, I'm not too much caught up in the ideal of spending a lot of energy on demeaning people or discrediting people. I'm looking at how do we help people to recognize their potential. Because that's what I see when I read the Bible. That God was showing us about where you at is not what I'm preoccupied with, but where you will be or end up is what it's about. See, Jesus came just like us as a baby in a manger, but where he ended up at 33, yes, the end result looked bad, but it was a bigger picture. As I talked about Martin Luther King, the end result looked bad, but it was a bigger picture. For my insight, I haven't seen a movement since the Civil Rights Movement like that, where people fought it out to the end. Yes, there's a lot of marching and protesting and resurrection and all this stuff, but at the end of the day, is the end result beneficiary to the people, or is it just beneficial for the people in their performance, for their gratification of recognition, acknowledgement? Their pride. See, Jesus said he come to serve, not to be served. That is our mission, to be servant leaders as men. So again, our children and children's children, descendants to come, will be able to model after the pattern that displayed what God intended us to be, which was his image bearer. So as I close this out, as always, the most important thing is that you start by turning the key with the prayer of salvation. It's speaking with your tongue, your mouth, because God said through his word that life and death is in the power of the tongue. He tells us to choose life, not death. This is life when we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. So if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins, that he cared about you and he loved you enough because God sent him only begotten son for us, that opens up the door for you to cross into the threshold of this abundant life. You could put your past behind. See, Paul had a past, and they kept bringing it up in the interim. But after a while, Paul got recognized for what was he was really doing, which was the work for God the right way. The methodology he had in the beginning wasn't the same he had at the end. As Elder said, a change had come. That's what we're looking for. Being transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we put old things in the past, and all things become new. We become new creation in Christ. That is worth its weight in gold. Again, there will be more great dynamic speakers and teachers and sponsors and counselors and mentors coming on. So check out Kingdom Builder. If you want to email us, check us out at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. And this is under Kingdom Builder Development Institute. If you need to ask questions or you want to talk to someone specifically, you can dial 313-583-9739. And if you want to sow into the ministry, you can sow into it by giving to www.giveify.com, which is GIVELIFY.com. Again, as we meet next week, Lord willing, we're going to pick it back up. And we're going to move through those four D's because we're going to move towards our destiny. We're going to work towards the mark of perfection. We're going to move so we can complete the race. And we can hear these beautiful words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." As always, in pardon, you pray for me, I pray for you, and let's watch the miraculous and wonderful things that our God will do. Again, I'm your host, Brother David. I thank you for taking the pause for the call. I hope that you will gain something because you had ears to hear. Not David, but through the Holy Spirit of God's word and what he parted in my heart to share with your heart. Have a wonderful week. God bless.
When God rescued me.